Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Today's story, gospel message, is always appointed for the Sunday following Easter. The story of Jesus visiting the 12 disciples in the upper room, the same room where they gathered for the Last Supper. They gather there and the doors are locked. They're filled with fear. And I would say each of them have their questions and doubts. How could they not? Their beloved teacher, whom they had been following for 3 years, who's taught them everything. They were witnesses to the miracles, to the teachings, to it all. And even though he had prepared them by predicting his death and resurrection, they didn't understand. And so Peter denies Jesus, Judas betrays him, and all the others scatter, and they find their way back to the upper room, filled with fear, filled with questions. What happened, and what does it mean? Now, Thomas, it says, wasn't there, and for that, he forever is known as Doubting Thomas. Has anyone ever called you a Doubting Thomas because you had questions about your faith? If so, I say, count yourself in good company. If you don't have questions about your faith, I have questions about you. If you can take at face value that a human being was the very embodiment of the living God, and that same person died on the cross to give himself for the world, if that doesn't beg some questions for you, come see me. If you don't have questions of how an all-powerful, all-knowing, and loving God can be true, and human suffering happens all around us, and that doesn't bring some questions to your mind, I've got questions for you. If you haven't been brought to your knees because of a health scare, or had questions when you lost a loved one, or had life just come to you in a way where you experience suffering and loss, these are all things that cause us to ask questions. Why, God? What does it mean? Where is God in the midst of these things that come to us in our life? Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubts and questions are for us to explore, for us to dig deeper. When we are in the face of doubts, if someone comes to us and has questions about God and questions about their faith, and we say, don't doubt, just believe, we're shutting off their inquisitive mind, which may allow them to break through a superficial faith that will not serve them well when these big questions come. Thomas has some questions. Rightly so. In the upper room on Easter night, Jesus breaks through a locked room. They weren't ready to let anyone in, but Jesus breaks in and says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side, still bearing the marks of the cross, but very much alive. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," calming their spirits, grounding them again in their faith and in Jesus' presence, his holy presence. And he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." These disciples are given the promise of Jesus' presence. They're given the answer that they've been searching for, that Jesus is alive, that he has been raised from the dead. Thomas wasn't there. Maybe he hadn't been able to get back to the upper room yet. He's still struggling to make his way through a crowd of people, trying not to be noticed, because they all feared that as disciples of Jesus, they might succumb to the same fate. And when he arrives, of course, the other disciples, I suppose that makes 10 at this point, for those doing the math, are so overjoyed, and who could blame them? We have seen the Lord. And they tell Thomas that the risen Jesus, he's alive. He came and spoke to us. He blessed us. He gave us the very peace of God we've been needing. And no doubt answered the questions that they had. And Thomas, the doubter, says, "I will not believe until I can see for myself his hands and his side, and even place my fingers in his wounds." For 7 days, Thomas waits. For 7 days, the other disciples, I'm sure, say, "We've seen the Lord. We've seen it. You just have to believe us." But Thomas has questions. And so after 7 days, God sends Jesus once again. And he comes into the room and says, "Peace be with you," and looks directly at Thomas. Thomas, who's been filled with questions, needs to see it for himself, and says, "Thomas, take your hand, put it on my side, see for yourself." It's not clear in the text if Thomas actually does this. He proclaims, "My Lord and my God." The Thomas who has been filled with questions and doubt makes a profound statement of faith. Believing Thomas. Thomas, like other apostles, continued the ministry of Jesus, and legend is that Thomas went to India and started the church there. Thomas had this grounding experience where he had been asking deep questions, where he had been seeking for himself the very presence of God in his life. And that prayer is heard. Because maybe that's what doubts and questions are. They're petitions to God. Help me see. Help me move beyond this question that I have right now. Or perhaps allow me to have faith and trust in you even while I don't have it all figured out. Thomas has this amazing experience with God. But it's the same kind of experience that the others get as well, that Jesus comes to them. Jesus knows they have questions, and they're good questions. What is God doing on the cross? What does it mean that Jesus is raised from the dead? What does it mean for Jesus, and what does it mean for all of us? Is God's grace for everyone? Don't we have to earn it a little bit? Do good people go to heaven? Why must we suffer? These are questions for us to probe, to explore. And believe me, God can handle your doubts. God can handle your questions. God welcomes your questions, because by exploring these questions, these struggles, our faith equips us to deal with the complexities of human life. God is not calling us to live superficial lives that deny our own real life struggles. Jesus goes to the disciples. He breaks into their locked upper room. He shows them his very self, equipping them to become apostles, to begin the work of the church. And the truth is, Jesus comes to each of us when we're most vulnerable, when we have our struggles. Jesus is never far away, showing him to us, his very self, wounded and yet whole. God's grace is for all of us. God's love is unconditional. It's a gift given to you. That may be mysterious. We may not know always what it all amounts to, but we can take it on faith. Amen.